The scripture reading this evening is from James chapter 5, no, chapter 4, 3, and the text is Exodus 20, verse 16. The text is the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And the scripture reading is from James chapter 3, that deals with taming the tongue. This is what the Lord says through the Epistle of James. Not every one of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So far the word of God, and now the confession of the church based on it. From the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 43, question 112. What is God's will for us in the ninth commandment? The answer is, God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's word, not gossip or slander, not join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are the devices of the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. I should love the truth and speak it candidly and openly, acknowledge it, and I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. So far, the reading of the Word of God and the confession of the church based upon it. Before we open this very important and practical truth, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, You are the God of truth. Your Word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. O Lord, help us to know the truth, to speak it clearly, and to do all we can to advance our neighbor's good name. Help us to avoid gossip or slander as the very works of the devil. O Lord, help us always to realize that we are standing in Your presence. Bless us now this evening. Guide us. Bless us as we bring Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, in Jesus Christ our Lord, truth is a wonderful blessing. We love the truth. The truth will always set us free. Sometimes truth is not comfortable. If you hear from your dentist that you have a cavity in your teeth that the X-ray has revealed, that's the truth. And it's not pleasant to have it corrected. The dentist must take his drill and cut out that which is diseased and fill it with good and proper filling. Truth is very important. Truth is actually the glue that unites society together. We drive down the road, we see a red light that tells us the truth, that we've got to stop for a red light. Wouldn't it be terrible if we disregarded the truth and just ran right through red lights or stop signs or did what we just pleased? You see, that was the situation in the book of Judges. We read in the book of Judges that there was no king in Israel, so everyone did what they wanted to do. And the result was absolute chaos and disaster. Everyone just did what they wanted to do. There was no law. There was no king in Israel. No one to say, this is how you have to live, this is how you have to behave. No, they just had no king in Israel, so everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That makes society impossible and chaotic. Then might makes right. Who's ever the strongest will prevail. Now there are some who define truth as the majority vote of the court. If the court decides by majority vote that a developing child in a mother's womb is dispensable and can be destroyed, then that becomes the truth. The majority vote becomes the truth. Do you know that that is a lie? That is a lie. Do you know that the majority often was very wrong. I think the majority of our court at that point was very wrong. In the days of Noah, what was the majority vote or the majority opinion? The majority opinion in the day of Noah was that Noah was crazy, building a big boat where there was no lake or ocean or water. They thought he was crazy. The majority was all wrong. And they sure changed their mind when out of the woods came wild animals two by two and walked into the ark. And then when the rain came down and the floods came up and covered the land, then they knew that Noah had spoken the truth, but it was too late. Truth is very important. Truth has its origin in God. God is truth, and in Him is no deceit, no lie. The devil is a liar from the beginning, and he tries to make everyone else liars. The devil came to Eve in the garden and said, "So, you can't eat any of the trees, fruit of the trees of this garden?" And she said, No, we may eat all the fruit of all the trees, but not this one in the middle. For God says, in the day you eat of it, you will surely die." He says, No. Don't believe that. That's not the truth. The truth is that tree is very good for food, and it will open your eyes to see good and evil. And the great sin of mankind started right there. That she believed the devil's lie and ate and gave to her husband with her, and they ate and plunged themselves and all their posterity and all of creation into sin. It was a disaster. They believed the lie. God says, "You shall not bear false witness." You've got to speak the truth in love. For we are members one of another. You see, truth holds the body together. The truth holds the church together. The truth holds marriage together. The truth holds society together. When you go to the grocery store and you want to buy a pound of meat or a pound of apples or a pound of peaches, you believe the scale. That the scale is telling you the truth. The truth holds our economy together. The truth holds people together. In fact, the truth holds our own body together. That is why a lie detector test works. Because our body and our emotions, our feelings react when we tell a lie. There's something that happens in us, and we can't help it. It just does. And it records on the lie detector test, and those who administer the test know that we told a lie. The truth holds our body together. It holds our mind together. Truth finds its essence and its source in God, who is the God of truth. And what a blessing that is, that you and I can trust His Word. Jesus said in John 17:17, the high priestly prayer, "Thy Word is truth." It's true truth. It can be depended on. You can always trust His Word. His Word will never lead you astray. It will always be the truth. And the truth is good for you and good for me and good for everyone. The Bible says, love the truth. There are certain things that God hates. One is a lying tongue. He hates a lying tongue because a lying tongue really denies that God is in control of your tongue. He is in control of it. Your tongue, my tongue, each one of us has a tongue. It's a very small organ in our body. And it's a small organ in the body of a horse. And James says that you can put a bit in a horse's mouth and it controls his tongue and it can direct him wherever the one who is riding or driving the horse wants to go. The tongue is a small part. And then he says, James says, think of a large ocean liner. I remember we were in the harbor at San Diego. And we saw the Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier. What an enormous ship that was. And we were, Lori and I were in our son's boat. And we rode around that ship. And as we came near it, the runway was over our head. That is an enormous ship, a beautiful naval vessel. But that huge vessel is directed by a small rudder. The rudder is not a big piece of equipment on a ship. It's small. But that small rudder can guide that ship wherever the pilot wants that ship to go. And we've heard in our news about all of the forest fires in California, both northern and southern California, and all the people that lost their lives and lost their property. How did it all start? Well, a great forest fire starts with one small match or one spark. It's a small thing, but it can do great damage. And the Apostle James says, you know, your tongue is a small part of your body. It's not a big organ. But it can do a lot of good, and it can do a lot of bad, a lot of evil. Your tongue is a central part of your body, not in terms of its size, but its influence and its effect. So in the ninth commandment, God says, watch your tongue. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Speak the truth, says the Apostle Paul. Paul talks about conversion. How do you know if a liar is converted? Paul says, let him that lies lie no more, but speak the truth in love. Speak the truth. To speak the truth, we got to think the truth. Truth has to be utmost in our hearts. You want others to tell you the truth? We've got to do it too. Truth is so vital for our whole existence. So the principle of this commandment is this, that human beings are really the highest creature of God. God made man in His likeness, in His own image. And the thing that really distinguishes us from animals and lower life is that we can speak, and that we can think, and that we can write. Animals can't do that. They can't write anything. They do not know how to reason. You and I do. We know how to think, and we know how to speak and write. And all of that is a marvelous gift of God to His highest creatures, mankind. And Jesus was the highest of all human beings. In Him dwelled the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And Jesus tells us, speak the truth. Use the marvelous gifts that God gave you to enhance and to spread and to speak and think and write the truth. Truth is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful word. Truth. So it holds us all together. It holds the church together. So the Lord teaches us in His Word, do not bear false witness. And of course, that word witness refers to court, a court situation, where a witness has to come forth and give a testimony, and he's got to be truthful. But what does he do? What does the judge call the witness to do before he speaks the truth or before he speaks at all? What does he do? He is called to lift his right hand and to swear that I will tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Do you know why our country does that? What our country does, what our court does, it uses God's name as the guarantee that you and I will tell the truth. I promise, I swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's what they say. And that's a wonderful thing. We have a society that is ordered, an ordered society, because there is truth. I always felt so very, very sorry for people who lived in the old Soviet Union, because they couldn't believe anything that their paper said. You know what the name of their paper was? Pravda. You know what Pravda means? The truth. But what the word Pravda really meant did not happen. They got propaganda. Propaganda is not telling the truth. We can be thankful in our country that there is truth. Sometimes you wonder. When you hear things on television or the radio, you wonder sometimes, is this really the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Or is it colored? Is it biased? Is it spun? If it's spun, you really can't trust it completely. Things can be said which can be very damaging. It can really undermine confidence in our leaders. Truth is very basic, and it's exceedingly important. You cannot have a society without it. Without it, there becomes chaos. So the Lord says in His ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, honors the issue of authority. The next commandment, you shall not murder, honors and magnifies the principle of life. The seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery, honors and promotes marriage. The eighth commandment, you shall not steal, honors and promotes property. That we have to care for our property and also protect our neighbor's property. We may not steal. The command dealing with thou shalt not kill is the Lord speaking as the King. This is how we have to live. The command, do not commit adultery, is the Lord speaking as priest, because your body is a temple. And you may not desecrate that body by adultery or fornication or sins of the flesh. The eighth commandment is God speaking as the King, as the truth. You must not steal. And the ninth commandment, God is speaking as the prophet. When you speak, you are using your office as prophet. You're speaking. You're communicating. You're bringing forth what you believe to be the truth. And the Lord says, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth. Think the truth. Follow the truth. God is truth, and in Him is no deceit at all. Isn't that wonderful? That you can trust the Lord and you can trust His Word. Jesus said, your Word is the truth. This Word is the true truth. It is the foundation upon which everything is built. Our hearts, our souls, our eternal life is built upon the truth of this Word. If we should find somehow that that whole thing of God and the Word of God is all just a hoax, what a terrible thing that would be. No, God says, never, never, never let anyone deceive you there. This Word is the truth. It stands as a granite. It's like the rock of ages. It will not move. It will not be manipulated. This Word is the truth. What a blessing that is. God has spoken. And now what this commandment says is that we must be children of God, and we've got to do the same thing. We've got to speak the truth. We may not falsify the content of our mind. What we know to be true, we may not falsify it. We've got to speak the truth and think the truth and love the truth. So now the practical implications of this. The Catechism mentions it. Do not twist one's words. It's possible to do that. It's possible to report what someone has said and twist it and make it say quite different than what they intended it to be. Twist no one's words. Do not gossip. What gossip is it's spreading a tale about someone that you are not sure is true. And it certainly doesn't help. the person about whom you're speaking. When we speak about someone, we should ask ourselves, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? Is it kind? If it's not kind, don't say it. It's got to be true. It's got to conform to reality. Do not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing. Without a hearing or without a just cause. You see, one of the principles of justice in our country is that a person is innocent until proven guilty. And to say someone is guilty without evidence is slander. There's got to be evidence, proof of what you say. You see how very basic this is to our whole society. We don't want to be judged by others without evidence. We don't want to be judged by someone just on hearsay. We've got to speak the truth, and we may not slander or join in condemning anyone without hearing, without a hearing, or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are the devices of the devil. And he uses those devices all the time. He used that device by tricking Adam and Eve into sin. That was deceit. That was lying. It was, as a matter of fact, it was slander. The devil slandered our Heavenly Father. When the devil said to Eve, "You will not die, but God knows that if you eat of it, you'll be like Him," and He doesn't want that. That's slander. That's a terrible thing, and the devil did it right at the beginning. That's why Jesus says the devil is a liar and a father of all lies. He's a liar. He hates the truth. And so the Bible says clearly, speak the truth in love. Do you know the Catechism says, and it's so true, that deceit and lying, slander, gossip, giving false testimony, all these things would call down on me God's intense anger. Because God loves the truth. God is truth. And He wants us to reflect truth in all of our communications, in all of our dealings with one another. Truth holds it all together. I should love the truth. Love the truth and speak it candidly, which means clearly, honestly, and openly acknowledge it. And I should do whatever I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. That's also what it means not to bear false witness, but to promote our neighbor's good name. Because you see, the great commandment is you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And a second which is like it is this. We have to love our neighbor as ourselves. We wouldn't say anything to run ourselves down. We wouldn't say anything to talk about our own warts or our own sins. We don't want to do that. We've got to be honest with ourselves and with one another. speak the truth, and love the truth. This is what the Lord has done. He did that. Jesus was on trial, and he spoke the truth. And when he did, Pilate, in a sneering way, said to him, "What is truth?" You know, the assumption behind Pilate's question is this: no one knows. No one knows what truth is. Do you know, there are millions of students in universities and colleges and high schools and schools in this land and in Western world and in the whole world who are being taught you can't know the truth. You just can't know the truth. There is no one who knows it. We're all searching for the truth. That was a Greek fable. It was a man who had a lantern, and he was looking for the truth, and he never found it. We live in a society that believes that. You can't really know the truth. Oh, yes, we can. Thy word is truth. Jesus is the truth. Knowing Him, we know the truth. And our whole life must reflect Jesus Christ. More like the Master I would ever be. More of His love and humility. Love the truth. Follow Jesus. Do His will. Seek His truth, and we know it. We know it. That word is the truth. And one of the things which I, as a minister, am very, very conscious of is that as I preach the word, I must bring the truth, 12 ounces to a pound, the whole truth. It's basic. It's fundamental. If I should bear false witness and say to you something that is not true, the wrath of God would be on me. We must speak the truth, and we must think the truth, and share the truth, and be truthful, full of truth. What a wonderful thing that is. What a blessing God gave us, the truth. It holds us together. It holds a church together, a community together, society together, our own self. It holds it together. So love the truth. Love it. Speak it. Share it. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. May we love the truth and speak it and write it and share it and be truthful, full of truth. Lead us now, Lord, and guide us, we pray. Bring us together again on Thanksgiving Day as we bring to you our gratitude. With grateful heart, my thanks I bring. Lord, bless us now. Guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.